And there's your bus ministry. I guess that works, huh? Praise the Lord for that. How long have you been taking lessons, Amber? 5 years. And heard her at the recital the other night and just blessed my heart. Amen. So tremendous. Thank you so much for that good man of peace tonight. Well, this is an exciting night for Ben and for Luke and for their families. What a joy to see God touch the heart of young men and them be responsive and willing to follow His call. Amen. And the Lord's already put His call on these men. We're not here to validate the call of God, but we are here as a church to signify our approval of the call of God on these young men's lives to serve Him full-time in the ministry of the gospel. So I'm thankful that we could have Brother Robertson here tonight. He's going to bring, I'll have a message and he will too. Don't panic. They will not be both full-length messages, all right? But I'm thankful he could come tonight and be a part of this. First, I want Ben and Luke both to give a brief testimony about God's working in their life. We'll start off with the oldest one. I think, Ben, that's you. So come on and we'll let you go first tonight and give us your testimony.
Hello. My name is Ben, as you all know. First off, I want to start by thanking Pastor Angel and the church and my parents. Without you guys, none of this would be possible. So I want to thank you all for that. I'm going to start off with my salvation testimony. I got saved at the age of 5 years old after family devotions, which is a good thing to have in your family if you don't. But I got saved after family devotions. My dad pulled me aside, and I told him I needed to be saved, and we went through the salvation plan, and we kneeled at the couch. And there I got saved. And that's one thing I do remember and will remember the rest of my life. And I thank God for my parents and for His willingness to listen and when the pastor said to have family devotions. And it's been a blessing to me and to the rest of my siblings. Secondly, the call I got in the ministry, I got called to the ministry or called to preach at the age of 10 during a missions conference. At first, you kind of sit there and you wonder why God's calling you because you don't like getting up in front of people and you don't think you can do it. And you watch the preacher get up there all the time and he preaches and you see the power of God in his life and you wonder, can God actually use me in the capacity that he uses the preacher? Is it possible for me, even as a child, is it possible for me one day to grow up and to do that? Well, God kept knocking at the door and knocking at the door and saying he wanted me, so I surrendered. And if you never know who God's going to use. So if God's knocking on your door or working on your heart, surrender to him. No matter how much talent you have, no matter who your parents are, no matter where you've been, God can use you in any way, shape, or form if you only surrender. So that's when I surrendered to preach. God kind of just continued working in my life on that, went to Bible college. And there was times where there's bumps along the way where it didn't seem like I'd be able to make it financially, and God always provided a way. When God called you, He'll always provide for you and keep you where He wants you to be as long as you follow His will. And God continued to provide for us through college. After college, I got married. Praise the Lord. And we stuck around. We kept working in the ministries of the church there, and God blessed us. Pastor Dahl gave us a call, asked us to come work for him, and that's in Paradisheen, Wisconsin, at Bible Baptist Church. What we'll be doing there will be over the school, the bus ministry, soul winning, and then possibly RU. So it's going to be a busy schedule, but we're excited and we're happy, and we're looking forward to moving there and helping out the church.
Amen.
Well, before I start, I was reminded by my wife that I neglected to introduce two members of my family. My sister-in-law, Ashley, is here tonight, as well as my sister, Cherith. I'm sorry I left you. After seeing Brother Jason get up here and his excitement, I was thinking about this week. I went to the bank for the church, and I said, well, you know, I'm from Faith Baptist Church, and this is what I need. I'm not sure how Jason Minkowski used to do this, but this is what I did. And the lady looked at me and said, are you the new Jason? And I thought, there's no telling what that guy has said or done in this bank. Do I want to be this closely associated with that? So I said, yes. So, but I didn't get cussed out or anything thrown at me or anything. So I appreciate you being here. Well, one of the questions some people have been asking me, did you think this would happen, that you come back to the church and work? And I went back to about 3.5 years ago when I left for Bible college. And the answer would be absolutely not. When I left, I didn't think this would happen. I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't even necessarily want this to happen. But I'm here, and I want to be here now. So, but no, It wasn't in the works from way back. It happened just recently. I was saved when I was a little boy like Ben. I remember after a Sunday night service, I shared a room with my older brother, Ben. And I went to him, and I told him, I said, I want to get saved. He took me downstairs to my dad. We went to a little room off of the west side of our house there. We sat on the floor. I remember my dad opening the Bible and leading me to Christ. And I was baptized the next Sunday in our high-tech horse trough in the old building. Still remember that. And as many people who get saved at a young age will do, I doubted my salvation growing up. And I struggled with that. Did I really mean it? Did I really understand it? And there was two messages that really helped me with that. One was one my dad preached called Do You Have the Answers or Do You Have the Evidence? And another was by Dr. Curtis Hudson. I found a recording of him, a message called Blessed Assurance or Assurance, something along that line. And after listening to those messages and searching my heart and asking God to show me, he assured me of the fact that I was saved, and that was it's a good thing to get settled in your life. I know a lot of people doubt it, but even though I got saved at a young age, when I was about 12 years old, I developed a bad attitude. And I mean, it wasn't anything outward, really. I'd never gotten engrossed in deep, immoral sin. It was more of an inward thing. Probably most of you who are around probably couldn't even realize it. But I had a bad attitude towards the things of church, toward the things of God, toward the Bible. And for about 4 years of my life, I'm glad I can say I never got involved in deep sin, but I'm embarrassed to say that I wasted about 4 years of my teen years from the time I was about 12 years old to 16 years old. But thank God that Mount Salem Revival Ground in 2006, when I was 16 years of age, on a Tuesday night, a preacher got up and preached. And it was one of those services where it seemed like the Spirit of God was talking directly to me. And I got my heart right. And that was, for me, that was almost as big of a deal as getting saved. I remember Brother Don Reardon always gave his testimony. He said, I got saved when I was 14. I got right with God when I was 17. I would think, well, big deal. You know, it's all the same. But no, it was a great moment in my life when God got a hold of me. I got right. Even after I got right, I still did not have any desire to be in the ministry. I would hear messages on surrendering to God's will. And I'd go forward, and I'd want to be surrendered. So I'd say, Lord, you know I really don't want to. But if you want me to, I'll go into the ministry. But I always wanted to be something in high school. I always wanted to make my life mount something, be success in whatever I did. So I made plans. I don't see Chris Heisel here tonight. And we had plans. We were going to go to Bible college for a year. And he's still on course for that. And I hope he makes it. I hope he finishes that and realizes his dream. But when I got through my freshman semester of Bible college, halfway through my freshman semester of Bible college, I was going to quit after my freshman year, come back and pursue an engineering degree. But that halfway point in January of 2009, God really upset my plans, and he didn't give me any peace about what I had planned, and it really, really rocked my world. And when that happens, what do? I didn't know what to do. I had made these plans. I was telling everybody this is what I was going to do, and now I didn't have any peace about it. So what do? I just got as close to God as I could. And I'm not going to take the time to get into it tonight, but I remember times in the school library and 1:30 in the morning on my face, just begging God, seeking his face. And that was the time in my life where I really got close to God and learned to get things from God. And that's where Christianity really became real to me. My salvation really became real to me was that during that time. And so a whole year went by before God settled it in my heart that he wanted me to stay at Providence and to finish. And I realized I would finish. I realized that there was a chance I would be placed in a ministry or go to a ministry. I didn't think it would be here. Brother Jason was here. Brother Caleb was here. It didn't really look like there was any place for me here. Then last spring, my dad came to me and said, Luke, he said, Brother Jason is going to start a church in Quincy, Illinois. We're going to have a spot on staff, and I'd like you to come to the church and work. So I thought, wow, you know, this is truly, I never thought this would happen, and it really scared me. So I didn't give him an answer right then, but I prayed about it for 6 months. And the Lord gave me peace about it. And so we're here and are excited. I'm excited to be back in the area, excited to be at my home church, and excited to be working with you people here.
Those are both two good testimonies. Amen. Thank you for that. Whatever you don't want to do, don't tell God you don't want to do it. That's a recipe for doing it. And so that's wonderful. It was a great day in our life, my wife and I, when we crossed the paths with the Robertson family down in Clinton. I wish you could all attend First Baptist Church in Clinton sometime. If you're ever traveling and you're going through and you need to be in a service and you're close to Clinton, drop in. You'll find a very exciting church, warm church. People love God, and their pastor does. And I appreciate so much Brother John and his wife, Sherry. Of course, their daughter married our son. And then they've got another son, Jonathan. who is engaged to a pastor's daughter over in Indiana, and they got Jacob here. Is that right? Not engaged yet? Oh, it's looking like it. Okay, man, I just open mouth, insert foot. No, I didn't get any word, brother. I didn't get any word. You think it's kept? Please don't leave here and say, oh, man, if you have internet and you go on the internet, you're going to, don't do that. That won't be good. Okay. No, that would, yeah, that would not be good. So, especially if Brother Parker found out first. But anyway, his son got a good thing going with this girl over in Indiana. So, and then their boy Jacob is here tonight. So, goodness gracious, man. But anyway, all right, very good. We have some young ladies that are going to sing, and after they sing, Brother Robertson is young men too. I believe we have a mixed group tonight. We have a mixed group going to sing. Y'all come on and sing for us. And after they sing, Brother Robertson's going to come and bring the first part of the message. He'll be preaching to the men, and then I'll be preaching to the men for a few minutes about the ministry after Brother Robertson is done. So when these folks are done singing, you give your undivided attention to Brother Robertson. Okay, very good.
House tonight. Good to be here at Faith Baptist Church. What an exciting church. I was telling Brother Angel, man, I've been wanting to come on a Sunday night. And I could just feel the excitement. Then I understood why. Brother Jason was in the house. I could hear him. But seriously, church, what an exciting church. Thank you so much for being here tonight. It's an honor to be a part of this service. So when Brother Angel called me and asked me could I work it out to come, I didn't really to be honest with you, when it involves your kids, I didn't care what was going on at First Baptist Church. I was going to make arrangements. I wanted to be here and be a part of this. And I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. What truth the Word of God teaches us. And what an exciting time. Have you ever went to a church service and you thought, man, the preacher was preaching to somebody else? You ever been to a, y'all can be honest about that. You ever left the church service going, man, who was the preacher preaching to tonight? Well, I'm going to set your mind at ease tonight. I'm preaching to these two men right here. These two men sitting here. So everyone else, you can say amen. You can enjoy the service. It's not to you tonight. But I want to be a help and a blessing tonight and be an encouragement to these men. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. Whenever we look at the society and the day in which we live, whenever there's a pull for young men to go out into the ways of the world and to go out and to do everything under the sun but follow the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an exciting thing when young men give their life to Christ, not only for salvation, but say, God, here am I. Send me wherever you want me to go. Use me in whatever capacity you want to use me. And what an exciting time that is whenever we see that in young men's life. And I'm so tickled to death to be a part of that tonight. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I want to just give you a couple of thoughts, men, and get out of the way and listen to Brother Angel here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you don't have to stand. I'll read a couple of verses here and get right into the message tonight. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and in verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on this thought, a clear message to a called man. A clear message to a called man. Father, thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the good testimonies, everything that we've heard and experienced already. Lord, I pray that you'd bless these simple thoughts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. To be honest with you, we've gathered here tonight not only for Sunday evening church service, but we've gathered here for a solemn, holy occasion. We've met here tonight to set aside two special young men to ordain them in the gospel ministry, in the good news ministry. And what we do here tonight continues a great tradition that's existed and began over 2,000 years ago with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've gathered tonight to lay hands on our Christian brothers and men that God has called to do His work. And what a great privilege that's ours that God still calls young men. In 2012, who would think that God could still use young men? But I'm thankful tonight to know His work is not done and He needs laborers to get His work done. And I'm thankful that He's still calling young men. But I'm also thankful that young men are saying, I'm willing to go. As I was looking at this and I was thinking about this as we're coming together tonight, we've come to publicly acknowledge our own confidence in Brother Luke and Brother Ben and in their calling into the ministry and their ability to carry out that ministry by the help of the Holy Ghost of God. And I'll be honest with you, this is a great honor for me to be a part of this service. As I said, this is not something new that we're doing tonight. In our text that we just read, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, and a young man upon whom Paul had himself laid his hands upon. And as he ordained Timothy to preach the gospel, Paul writes these words to Timothy. And Paul knows that his time here on this earth is short, and he wanted to challenge him with some things that would help him endure, help him when he was gone. And that's what we want to do tonight. And Paul gives a clear message for a called man. I want to give you three things, fellas, if I can help you. And when Brother Angel called me and asked me to cover one part of this ordination service, I got to thinking about the man, you men, as you sit here tonight. And I want to look at these verses and try to help you tonight with this clear message for a called man. Notice, first of all, the called man and his mandate. The called man and his mandate. In verse number 1, the Apostle Paul saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. As I was thinking about the called man and his mandate, I see, first of all, that he's to be a man of the word. He's to be a man of the word. The Bible says, preach the word. That word preach means to herald. It refers to a king's messenger to the people. Listen, I'm telling you here tonight, as I stand here before you, I'm just a herald for the king, bringing about a message. It ain't my words, it's his words. It's a message from him. And don't ever be ashamed of that fact. When God gives you a message, you're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, be a man of the word. Listen, the message was to be heard and heeded, and that's the message that we have. We've got a society that's lost and dying in their sins and on their way to a devil's hell, and we've been given the responsibility of the greatest news man has ever known to share that news. Be a man of the word. As I look at that word there, it refers to the whole counsel of the Bible. The called man's mandate is to be a man of the word, not of human philosophy, not of human psychology. We live in such a day that pastors have become more psychologists and become so philosophical. Listen, we need to be men of the word and not of human wisdom and education, but of the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if I could tell you something this evening, love your Bible. Love your Bible. I remember this old man of God, Dr. Jack Parchman, traveled for 52 years in evangelist and never drew a paycheck, traveled 52 years in full-time evangelism. And preacher, I can remember as that old man of God would be in the morning, I would go out to my office and I would see him out walking, and he was in his 80s at this time, the last time he was at our church before he went to heaven. That old man of God would go out walking around our property, and it was raining one day, so he was walking around in the basement of our church, and I happened to go down and I peeked in, and as he was walking with his Bible and he was talking with God. And I watched that old man of God every so often. He'd be talking with God and he'd quote some scripture and he'd stop, and tears running down his face, he'd just kiss his Bible. He would, listen, he loved his Bible. Men, I'm telling you here tonight, if there's anything that will help get you through in the hard times, in the lonely days, it'll be the Word of God. You'll find yourself sometimes in the wee hours of the night searching the Word of God just for one more promise, just for one more word from God, just to get you through till the next day. Because one thing, friends may change and family may change their mind, but the Word of God always remains the same. Love your Bible. The called man and his mandate, he's to be a man of the word. But I also see that he's to be mindful of the witness. In verse 1 it says, charge before God. Timothy is reminded that God and Jesus is observing the ministry of the called man. It's ever before me tonight. It's ever before me tonight. That one day I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to the ministry God's called me to. Listen, I want to be a good example for my family. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to stumble. I don't want my kids to hang their head in shame and talk about what Daddy used to do. I don't want my church to be ashamed. I don't want my friends to be ashamed. But there's something, Brother Jason, that motivates me more. There's a witness that's watching me tonight that I'll stand before. And oh, if I could possibly hear those words, well done. Listen, fellas, we need to understand that there's a witness tonight. You've been called to be in position that will be witnessed by the preacher to whom you'll serve and the people in the church and the citizens of the community in which you live. But I remind you tonight that the greatest witness of all is God Himself. He sees the secret times. He sees those times that whenever no one else sees, He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. My prayer for you tonight is that you always keep in mind that pleasing the Lord is more important than pleasing man. I believe with all of my heart, and this preacher here would testify that if you men work to always seek to please the Lord first in your life, that everything that you do, if you'll seek to please Him in everything that you do, I promise you, you'll please the pastor and the people in whom you serve. Always. Be mindful of the witness. So we see the called man and his mandate. Notice number two, the called man and his mission. The called man and his mission. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Verse number three, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall not turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou. You see, the called man in his mission. Listen, the God-called man is a man on a mission. I see first that he watches. He watches. A called man is an observer. He's sober and he's patient. He learns from all that goes on around him. But most importantly, he watches himself. He watches himself. The Bible says in verse number 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You see, the called man in his mission, he's on a mission. We find that he watches, but also find that he works. Verse number 5 says, endure afflictions, do the work. Now listen, contrary to popular opinion, the ministry is hard work. Somebody asked me one time, I said, well, how did you know that God called you into ministry? I said, well, I got up one morning, I had no desire to go to work, and I was craving fried chicken. But that's not the truth. The ministry is hard work. The man who is called of God quickly realizes the ministry is work. Brother Luke, Brother Ben, both of you young men are both entering the ministry in the area of assistance in that capacity. If I could challenge you this evening, work hard. Work at learning the heart of your preacher. Your preacher shouldn't have to worry if things are getting done or not. Don't be the kind of worker that the preacher has to come and check behind. Work in such a way so that he can have confidence that if he gives you a task to do, that he'll know that it will be done the way that he would have done it if he was the one doing it. Because in reality, it's his way that it should be done. You may have a better way, but it's his way. It's his way. Work. Work, fellas. I'm telling you, the preachers you're serving have given you opportunities to fulfill the call of God upon your life. I remember whenever the pastor that called me to be his assistant, what a privilege that was. I had an opportunity to fulfill the call of God on my life. I was forever, and I still am forever, indebted to him today for giving me the honor and the privilege to fulfill the call of God upon my life. Work as though, fellas, you appreciate the opportunity. Never complain about the place or the position that God has called you to be. Be thankful and work. 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 Listen, on those days when discouragement comes and you wonder why you're doing what you're doing, remember this. I have this as a screensaver on one of my computers. I did it on purpose. I wrote this, and I have it every now and then that pops up on my screensaver that says, the Lord has called you and chosen you into His ministry and given you a place to serve. When you sit and think about those things, you realize, well, what a privilege. What a privilege. You see, the man and his mission, he works. He watches, but he witnesses in verse number 5. In verse number 5, we find that he witnesses. The called man declares the validity of his calling and his ministry by the faith he practices before God and the life that he lives before men. The called man must never forget that others are looking. He must never fear, because if the Lord has called him, he'll certainly equip him also. Fellas, you don't have to worry about that. You may wonder, as you said, how could I ever do what I see other preachers are doing? God will equip you. You're looking, every man that you see that God's used in a great way, God equipped him to do what God, what he's been called to do. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." And as I was thinking about this, the man, the called man, we understand what his mandate is. We understand he's on a mission. But I want to leave you this last challenge, you young men, with this last thought. I want to look at the called man and his mate. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 14, "Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." Let me issue a caution, if I may. There will be long, stressful days ahead as you seek to fulfill the position that God has called you to. There will be days filled with fun, excitement, joy, pleasure, all of those emotions. You'll experience all of those. Listen, I'm thankful for the high days. Well, I'm telling you, thank God when those days, it's like a bright ray of sunshine. But I do understand that there's stressful days that come too. But I want to leave you with this caution tonight. There's no ministry on this earth. No ministry, no matter how large or what fame comes with it. There's no ministry on this earth worth sacrificing your family for. Men, long before there was a government, a church, a ministry, or a community, there was a home. God has given both of you men wives. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Never make your wives feel that they have to compete for your time. Even though this is necessary work, and don't you ever think it's not, this is necessary work. And the hours may be long, always, and I underscore always, make time for your wife. There's been many marriages that's fallen on hard times because the marriage was sacrificed for the ministry. Can I tell you, church, God gets no glory in that. Be creative. Fellas, be creative. Find ways to spend time, ways to keep the fires burning. As the saying goes, keep doing what you did to win her before marriage, after you get married, and you'll never have to worry about becoming unmarried. And I issue that caution with finally a challenge. Work hard. Work hard. Serve the preachers in where you're going to be serving. Work hard, but find a balance. It will be difficult, and you'll have to seek help. You may even have to seek help from your preacher. I've got a couple of young preachers, Brother Angel, that's come to me and said, "Preacher, will you do me a favor and watch my family? If you see me neglecting my wife or my family, will you please call me on it?" You may have to find someone to keep you accountable and say, "Hey, watch my relationship." You may have to say, "Watch and help keep me accountable." You can work hard. You can love your mate. You can have a home that brings honor and glory to God. But remember this. God has given you wives. Whether the ministry is here or whether it's not, she'll be there. Whether the friends are there or whether they're not, she'll be there. Whether you can't trust anyone else, God's given you wives beside your side that will be there. Whenever it seems like all of hell is turned loose and there's nothing that's stable in your life, God's given you wives that you can look forward to getting home to, and they'll be there. Love them. Protect them. Provide for them. And when everyone else forsakes you, when everyone else goes, your wife will be there. So you work to always be there for her. Men, I close with this last thought. God's called you into the greatest business in the world, His business. The money may not be great, but the rewards are eternal. How humbling to think that the King of Glory has chosen us to carry out His great work. Always remember that. His business is the greatest business. And I challenge you to remember the charge that Paul gave Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God. I pray that both of you will be blessed with long, fruitful ministries for the glory of God. Father, thank you for these truths. Bless the remainder of this service in Jesus' name.
Outstanding for those two young men. Outstanding message. And I appreciate so much the emphasis that Brother Robertson put on the at the end there, fellows, on your wife and your family. Your wife and your family is your credibility in the ministry. So you don't want to sacrifice that. I'm going to read two verses out of the book of Joshua, chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I want to talk to these men for just a couple of minutes on the subject of the ministry. This is a wonderful and blessed evening for you two fellows. I'm so thankful for your surrender to the call of God. An ordination is a special event, and no doubt you're both excited and thankful to be in this service. I recall, and I have the last few days recalled my ordination service back in 1980 when I graduated from college, and the two preachers that preached at my ordination service, one is in the ministry and one is in jail. And so, Brother John, I don't know where you and I are going to end up, but anyway, I've got good and bad there. So, but anyway, I recall that service. It was a wonderful night, and I know you're excited, and you should be excited. And Brother Robertson, he used the verse where Paul worded his feelings in 1 Timothy 1:12 when he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And with all your excitement, do not lose sight of what you are being ordained to is the ministry. When all the ceremonial details are concluded, and when the ordination is done, it'll be time to roll up your sleeves and go to work in the ministry, as the brothers already said tonight. And I want to remind you both tonight that ministry is service. It's what it is. It's service. The service of God. And that defines itself very specifically. It is not some ambiguous, ooey-gooey feeling that will come over you when you have the laying on of hands of night. No, tonight. No, you minister for God by ministering to His people. You are being ordained into a life of service, a life of being a servant. Because ministry is service. And too many, I think, young men look at going into the ministry as this quantum leap into leadership. And you know what? You both will be expected to lead, and you'll be expected to direct certain areas of church ministry and so forth in the local churches where you serve. But this is not a quantum leap into leadership. This is a leap into service. We call it full-time service. And you will only serve or minister for God as you serve or minister to His people. And the case in point here I'm using tonight is this man Moses. Many people would vote Moses as the most impressive leader in the Old Testament. But when God wrote about Moses in the book of Joshua, He never used the word leader. You can't find it in the entire book. But He called Moses my servant 19 times in one book. 19 times. The word servant is used 20 times in the book of Joshua. 19 times it is used about Moses as God refers to him as my servant. How did Moses serve God? He served God by serving God's people. He led them. He was their leader, yes. He exhibited good leadership, but he did all of that by serving Him. And one of the ways a leader serves people is by assuming the responsibilities and rights of leadership. But wait a minute. He does it with a servant's heart. He doesn't do it with a dictator heart or a dictatorial spirit. He does it with a servant's heart and a servant's spirit. When Paul taught Timothy about this, and Brother Robertson referred to these verses in 1 Timothy 4:12, he said, "Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer." He was saying, young Timothy, he said, look, you're young. But he said, you serve the people by being an example to them. And I think both of you sat in the classes at school where I reiterated, Paul did not demand that Timothy be the best. Don't live under that pressure. You won't be the best Bible student. You won't be the best prayer warrior. You may not be the best soul winner in the church, but be an example of the believer. Be an example. Don't live under the pressure of being the best. Just be an example and live under the call of God to serve people. Jesus led his followers by serving them. Listen carefully. His greatness is not measured by the fact that he gave orders to 12 men. Sometimes that's how we measure people's greatness. Well, look at how many people he bosses around. His greatness was not measured by the fact that he gave orders to 12 men, but by the fact that he met the needs of multitudes. That's where you measure the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I want to point out three aspects of leadership, the leadership-servant relationship. I just mentioned them and we'll move on to the laying on of hands. But let me say tonight, number one, that leadership's first requirement is that of being a servant. The first requirement of leadership is that of being a servant. God will only magnify your leadership abilities as you first make yourself available to serve. Men, if you do not serve, you will not lead. Dictators do not lead by serving. They lead by force. They lead by coercion. They're not true leaders. They're not true leaders because they do not lead by serving. You are both serving as assistant pastors, and I sat there marveled that God would help ask Brother Robertson to say the same thing that he's asked me to say tonight. You're serving pastors, and the depth of your willingness to serve your pastor and the people of that church will determine the breadth of your leadership and influence. Your commitment to serving that pastor and the people of that church will also open doors for you in ways of leadership. Leadership's first requirement is that of being a servant. I believe in some measure, in some way, you must have already exhibited some kind of spirit of servitude, a spirit of a servant's heart, because God doesn't put men into the ministry who don't have that kind of spirit and service. It is the first requirement for leadership. Number two, leadership's greatest quality is that of being a servant. The greatest quality of leadership is being a servant. Some people would say the greatest quality of leadership is having oratorical ability and being able to sway hundreds and thousands of people with your words and your charisma and commanding or demanding attention. Let me tell you something, Ren. Real leadership doesn't have to demand attention. Real leadership commands attention. And you command attention by serving people. Jesus said this in Matthew 23:11, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. He didn't just say that. He lived it. And I want you to recall quickly that scene in the upper room in John chapter 13 where they met for the Last Supper, and it was a borrowed room. So there was a pitcher and of water and a basin and a towel, but there was no servant provided by the man who owned the room because it was rented out. There was nobody there to wash the feet of the guests. And you can hear the disciples sitting around the table, and who's washing feet tonight? Well, not me. I'm nobody's servant. Who's going to wash feet tonight? Well, not me. I'm not the servant. How shocked they must have been when after the meal ended, the Son of God stood up, walked over to that table where the bowl was, and put that towel over his arm and poured the water into that basin and knelt and washed the feet. The servant of servants. Charles Haddon Spurgeon called him servant, servus servorum, the servant of servants. That's what Jesus was. And when he got done, he told them, he said, I have done this as an example to you. And he was exampling there the heart of a servant to meet the needs of people. Leadership's greatest quality is not some mind of organization. Leadership's greatest quality is not some verbiage that you can employ to sway the emotions of people. Leadership's greatest quality is serving the needs of people. That's its greatest quality. And I'll finish with this tonight. Number three, leadership's perpetuating principle is that of being a servant. Do you want to stay in this thing for a long time? You got to keep serving. Keep serving. Keep serving. God will place you in leadership opportunities as long as you never get too big to be a servant. He'll give you those leadership opportunities. The perpetuating principle of leadership is that of being a servant. That's what the ministry is all about, fellas. It's not about glory. It's a glorious thing. I appreciate it. I love it. But if you're getting into the ministry tonight for the glory that's in the ministry, you'll soon find out that you got in for the wrong reason. Get in to serve. Serve God. Brother Robertson preached to you about you and your call to the ministry and all that goes with it. And then I brought you some thoughts tonight along the lines of the ministry itself. May God help you, both of you, to be the man God wants you to be and to have the ministry He wants you to have, which is one of serving. Serving. Serving God and serving His people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the privilege to have the opportunity to signify our approval as a church upon these young men. Now, Lord, it's an exciting night, but after all this is over and the rubber meets the road, may they hear and heed the messages that were preached tonight. May they be the man that they should be. And God, will You please help them always in the real work of the ministry, which is being a servant. May they have a fruitful and prosperous life of living for You, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name and amen. One of the elements that goes along with the ordaining of young men to the gospel ministry is the laying on of hands. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Ben if he will, if you'll kneel right here, Ben, at the altar, and Luke, if you'll come and kneel over here. And church, you may just sit very quietly and observe. Brother Jason, if you'll come, and Brother Caleb, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Brother Jason and Brother Robertson to start over here with Ben, and then Brother Caleb and myself will start over here with Luke. And we'll each pray for these men, just privately right down here with our hands on them. And then after we've prayed, fellas, for these men, we'll swap and we'll pray for the other young man. And church, you just observe as we lay hands on these men, signifying God's call of their life to gospel ministry. Ben, let me ask you and Luke to come on up here to the platform. Let me ask your wives to join you tonight, Andrea and Jessica, if you all come and stand here with your husbands on the platform. Ladies, I think your mother-in-laws have some flowers for you tonight, so I want to ask the mother-in-laws to come and bring these flowers and present them to these two young ladies. Thank God for the mate that God's given both of these men. Fine young ladies. Appreciate them so much. And Ben and Luke, y'all stay up here, ladies. Ben, come on in here, bud, if you would. Luke, let me have for both of you tonight two pieces. One is a certificate of ordination, which simply just says, certificate of ordination set for the defense of the gospel. This is to certify that after a satisfactory relation of Christian experience, call to the ministry, and views of Christian doctrine, Benjamin Paul Payne, Luke Christner Angel, was publicly ordained to the work of the gospel ministry on the 27th day of May 2012 at Faith Baptist Church, Bourbonnais, Illinois, and is signed by the four men who laid hands on you. Ben, God bless you. This is your certificate. Ben, Luke, God bless you. Now, along with that, and far more important than that, because what you do with that, in fact, my wife and I have been looking for my ordination certificate. I'm serious. I can't find it. She can't find it. I don't know where it is. But far more important than that piece of paper is this book right here. This is it, okay? This is your sustenance. This is your message. This is your how God leads you. That's how God will feed you, how God will direct you. It'll be everything in your life. Everything. And it is, Brother Jason, the old 1611 King James. And I believe that is God's word to the English-speaking people. It's a beautiful Bible. It's been signed by the four fellows that laid hands on you. Fellows, I love you. It's been a delight and a joy to be your pastor, to be your dad, your pastor. And I'm thankful. I don't recall having either one of these men in the office for disciplinary reasons through their school years. I don't recall that. Maybe, but I don't recall it. And I'm thankful for their testimony. Both had a good testimony at school. And our desire is not, Our desire is not for you to bring glory to Faith Baptist Church. Our desire is for you to bring glory to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And use your lives in His faith and be faithful to His, in His service over the years to come. I love you both. We want to congratulate you for your ordination. About a hand for these men. Well, praise the Lord. That's a wonderful evening. Amen. And I appreciate you listening in and observing and being here to signify our church's approval on these fellows. Here's what we're going to do. A good time here. I want to ask them in just a moment. I believe we've covered every announcement. Don't forget the camp sign up is a big thing, along with the anniversary picnic. But let's stand together, and I want to ask Luke and Jessica, Ben and Andrea to come stand down here. And, hey, take a minute before you head out. Come on, stand down here. And before you head out tonight, come by and greet these folks. Ben, will you be back to Bourbonnais before you go to Wisconsin? No, so this will be it. So be sure and come by and bid them God's blessing on their call up there and their work. All right? Shake hands with them. Shake hands with each other. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you Wednesday night or later on. Bye-bye. You are dismissed.